Sure, many are familiar with the Lord Jesus' Sermon on the Mount to some degree or other. We have the Beatitudes in chapter 5, and there are many of them where the Lord Jesus teaches of humility, he teaches of the heavenly kingdom, he teaches of contrition, repentance, and a number of many other things. And throughout those chapters, from chapter 5 through to the chapter that we read, we see that he highlights various other things. Like the way to heaven. We think of the verses that are recorded in these chapters that point us to think of the broad way and the narrow way and how we are to enter in at the straight gate. We think of how the Lord Jesus also spoke and taught the Lord's Prayer to teach us to pray. There was a pattern given for prayer in chapter 6 through those middle verses that are given for us from verse 9 or so through to around verse 15. And we have a pattern given for prayer. There are words from the Lord Jesus about warning us about hypocrisy, where he says in chapter 6 in the verse 1, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." We're not to do as the hypocrites do, who do things to be seen of men. The Lord Jesus taught of righteousness. We've mentioned repentance. He taught of contrition and remorse for sin, among many, many things. And right at the end of his sermon, he comes to this parable that we've just read together. A parable that points us to two builders, one who built on a firm foundation and one who built without a foundation. And these two men are really pictures or illustrations of two types of people who would walk away from Jesus' sermon that day, who would go back to their lives, who would go back to their homes, and go back to their, perhaps those that worked, go back into their employment in the days that followed. Having heard the word of God, these two represent two types of hearers, one who would obey and then one who would disobey. One who would, having heard the word of God, would do something about it and seek to obey the Lord Jesus and follow him. And then there would be those who would, having heard God's word, would disobey. And they would not take heed and they would not live out the words of truth that he taught them on that mountain that day. And there's three things I want to leave with you this evening. And one of the things is this, is the similarities that were between these two men. So often we jump to the big difference that there was between them. We know that one built on the rock and one built on the sand. One built with a foundation, one built without a foundation. We'll mention that, which is recorded in Luke chapter 6 in a few moments' time. But I want to first of all just highlight to you the comparisons or the similarities between these two men. You'll notice that they both had the same needs. Both of these men had the same needs. They both had to build a home. It says in verse 24, the Lord Jesus says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house." Jesus says in verse 26, "Of the foolish man, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house." Each of these men built a home. That's obvious. That's what the parable is all about. That is exactly what the parable is all about. But an obvious thing to mention, but something that can be missed. This is something that they had in common. This is something that these two men had comparisons with each other on. That they both needed a home. They both needed a place of refuge. They both needed a place of safety. They both needed a place that would protect them from the storm. They both needed a place that would keep them warm in winter and cooler in the summer. A place of security, among many other things. I'm just thinking of a few things to think of what a home is used for. And hopefully a place of peace, a home where there is peace, a place where they would feel safe. And it reminds us really of something that we all have in common when we're born into this world. We're all in need of a spiritual place of refuge. We're all in need of a spiritual place of safety, a spiritual place of security, a spiritual place of peace. And that place, of course, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the Saviour. It is in the Lord Jesus, who came to this earth, to live and to fulfil his ministry and to do the will of his Father in heaven, and then to go to the cross and to lay down his life for the sins of many. And we have that great need, a great need of a Saviour, one who can save us from our sins. There's a need of a home in this life. There's a need for us to live in a house. It's one of the first things that a young couple think of when they're thinking of getting married. They need a home. They need a place of safety. And it's one of the most important things that we need in our lives when it comes to spiritual things. We need a place of safety, a person that we can hide in, a person that we can find refuge in, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is this? Why do we need this place of safety? Why do we need a spiritual hiding place, a place of refuge, that we might be freed and that we might be set free? What is it that we need set free from? Well, it's sin. Spiritually, we all have one thing in common. We are all born in sin. We have all transgressed against the law of God. We mentioned this morning and spent most of our time on it in the early part of the message earlier on with the children this morning about God's law and how we've come short of the glory of God. And we thought about how James said that the transgression is breaking God's law. Sin is a transgression of the law. It goes back in history to Genesis 3 when Adam sinned against the Lord. In Genesis 3 and the verse 19, we read of the consequence of their sin, where God said that dust thou art and unto dust shalt thou return. We read throughout the scriptures of the consequences of sin, and we are in danger of the judgment when we're born into this world. And therefore we have something in common as we sit here this evening and we look back in our lives and we see the history of mankind, that we're no different. We're all born in sin. We're shaped in iniquity. We need a place of spiritual safety, which is found in Christ. So both these men both built a home. They both built a house. Wrong for the foolish man. We'll look at that in a moment. Right for the wise man. We'll look at that in a moment as well. But they both needed a home. Another thing that they had in common is that they both faced similar circumstances. I wonder, did you notice that in each of the occasions and each of the circumstances of these men, they both faced the exact same weather and the exact same storm that came upon them. In verse 25, the rain descended on the wise man's house. The floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell not. Verse 27, it says, the rain descended upon the foolish man's house, that is, and the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house. The exact same phrase is used for each of these men. They both faced the same circumstances. This is another thing that they had in common. This was something that was similar between the two men. They both faced the same circumstances. So often in our generation and in our age, whether it's young, I find from working with young people, they ask this question, and maybe more so even adults and older people ask, why do bad things happen to good people? Why is it that even you as a Christian have to face sometimes tragic circumstances, difficulties? Why is it that you even die? Why would you even believe this God? Well, it goes back in history again to Genesis chapter 3, doesn't it? Where we have the consequence read out from God after Adam sinned against the Lord. The Lord warned that in the day that he ate of the fruit thereof, he would surely die. And we mentioned a moment ago that God had to come. The Lord came into the garden and said, dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. What came as a result of sin? Separation from God. Sin separated man from God. Punishment came as a result of man rebelling against God's word. One day man would die. Adam and Eve did not die straight away, but eventually they died. Spiritually speaking, man was cut off from God and had to be a remedy. And the Messiah was promised very early on, straight after that sin had happened in the Garden of Eden. But what else happened? Well, circumstances changed in this world. We think of the flood that happened so long after that event in history, and this world was ripped apart. Think of the earthquakes and the famines and the pestilences that Jesus Christ even spoke of many, many years later, 2,000 years ago in the New Testament, where he said all of those things would take place in the last days. A range of circumstances, a range of events, and then of course death itself for all who would be born into this world. All of those things are things that will happen to humanity, to mankind, as a result of the fall. And there's the answer. History records for us in the Word of God. It is recorded for us in history why bad things happen to good people. It is a result of sin that happened in the Garden of Eden. And consequences came as a result of that. And it is true for the Christian. And it is true, likewise, for the unsaved, that we will face similar circumstances in this life. And it's good to point that out, because so often people have this notion, well, if I confess my sin and I come to the Lord and I say a prayer, well, everything will be rosy. I'll never have to face another problem again. And there's people that think like that. Whether we talk to them on the streets or whether there's somebody who sits in the pew and listens to God's word, they think to themselves, well, I might have it easy if I come to trust this Savior or say a prayer or something along those lines. Well, the fact of the matter is that our problem, our earthly problems, will not go away. There still will be challenges. There still will be difficulties. There will be things that we have to deal with. But there's a Savior who will help us. There's a Savior who will support you. There's a Savior who will uphold you. And he will be your anchor and your rock that we'll look at in a moment or two. They both built a home. They both faced similar circumstances. These two are also, lastly, before we move on, these two also had something else in common. They are pictures, as I said earlier, of two individuals who heard the words of Christ that day. Both of these men are pictures or illustrations of people who both heard, who all heard the Lord's words that day. And isn't it the case for the unsaved that so often they hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? And perhaps this evening you've heard the preaching of the gospel so many times, yet you refuse to believe it. You refuse to obey it. You refuse to confess your sin and acknowledge your sin and confess it unto the Lord and come to the Lord in repentance and faith in him. So many people hear the words of Christ, but they reject him. For those who have heard the word of God and come to Christ, they have done something about it. For you as a believer, for you as a Christian, you have obeyed the gospel. You have come to put your trust in the Savior. You have received him as your Savior. You have come to believe on him and had faith in him and believe that there's no other way that you can be saved. And right now you stand on redemption ground. You're saved. You're safe. You're secure. And you're ready for heaven. These two are pictures or individuals of these people who both heard the words of Christ. We'll come back to that at the end. I don't want to just go too far with that thought, but we'll come back to that just at the end, because there's something that I do want to say a little bit more about that in closing. But secondly, I want you to think of the difference between these two men, the contrast that there was. We thought of the comparisons, the similarities that there were, but think of the contrast between them. Think of the big difference that there was between each of these men. If you look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, and we read those words again in verse 24. Therefore, Jesus says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. In response to hearing Christ that day, there would be people who would be wise. There would be people who would not be foolish. There would be people who would have wisdom, having heard what Jesus Christ taught about heaven, about the way to heaven, true righteousness, to walk without hypocrisy, among many other things that we mentioned at the start, would put two and two together and listen and meditate and think about what he said, and they would be wise. And they would consider what he said, and they would seek to obey the Lord Jesus Christ and live for him. Wise because he built, or because they would build, as it were, their houses or their lives upon a rock. This man This builder was wise because he built his house upon the rock. And an individual who is wise in this life, who is wise in this world, is someone who builds their life upon the rock. The Lord Jesus is described, as we mentioned this morning, the chief cornerstone. He is likened unto a rock. Rock is something that is sturdy. We took a walk out along the coast. We near got the Heads Blue office today at Portrush. It was a windy one. And there's rocks along the coastline. There's cliffs, rocks that literally would not budge. Those rocks continue to be steadfast. They stay firm and they uphold the ground that is above them. Rock is something that is so strong and so steady. And when we think of one that we need to build our lives on, it is someone that we can depend on, someone we can trust, someone who will uphold us. And it is the rock, Christ Jesus. This man, having heard, or a picture of a man who has heard the words of Jesus Christ that day, he's a picture of one who obeys the Lord and seeks to build their life on the right foundation. I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 6 for a moment, because it says a little bit more just about him. Luke chapter 6, and we read in verse 48 about how he dug deep. Because this man dug a foundation, this man prepared the ground, this man was not someone who just went out and decided to start laying blocks and bricks and cement on the soil. This man took time to prepare the ground, to do something that would never be seen again once he built his house. He took time to prepare the foundation, that which would be covered up, that which would not be seen by others, would all be buried, and all that would be seen was his house. But this was the most important part of the building. It says in verse 48, he is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Here's a picture of a man who digs deep. Someone who digs down to prepare the ground, to make a foundation for the walls that would be built and the roof that would be placed upon the walls at the top of the house, all that would rest upon the foundation, the most important part of the man's life, or of the man's house. And as we think about the most important part of a man or a woman's life, it is what they build upon. And we'll think about in a moment about the foolish man, but there's so many today build their lives on the opinions and the ideas of other people. But this man, he dug deep. And when we think about that, for your soul as an unsaved individual, there's a need for you to dig deep. You might ask, to dig deep into what? We'll dig deep into the Word of God. To dig deep into your heart and search your heart and test your heart alongside the law of God that we looked at this morning. And look through the Word of God and search the Scriptures. For in them, as Jesus said, you know or you have eternal life. To search the Scriptures, to see what the Scriptures say about your sin. To weigh up your life alongside God's law and God's Word. And to come to a point and a realization that your sin is offending God, and your sin will take you to hell. Your sin will cause you to be lost forever, and to realize that you must come to Jesus Christ. You must take time to dig deep into God's Word, to search your heart, to take the time to think about your soul. It's very important. There's many people rushing around, living their lives, and not taking time to think of their soul and to prepare for that which is heavenly, for that which is eternal. And so often in this generation, as it is in many generations, in fact all generations, people are living for the day. And they're living for materialism. They're living for the pleasures of this life even. And they're not taking time to dig deep and to search the Scriptures and to consider where they stand before a holy God. I wonder, will you do that? I wonder, will you think about your soul? You may sit here week after week and you may listen to God's Word. And you may come out of tradition. You may come for whatever reason. I don't know. But maybe it's time you started thinking about your soul. Seriously thinking about your sin. Seeing what God's Word says and delving into it to see what the Word of God says that you need to do. And respond to the Lord Jesus by faith. To be wise and not to be foolish, but to build your life literally upon the rock. The foolish man in Matthew chapter 7, it says about him, he did something very, very different, as we know. He was a man that did not build upon the rock. He didn't even lay a foundation. It says in Matthew chapter 7 and the verse 26, Jesus says, "Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." I should have kept you there in Luke chapter 6 actually, because it also mentions something more about the foolish man. It says of him that he lay or built his house without a foundation. I just want to get the exact phrase for you. But it says in chapter 49, "He that heareth and doeth not is like a wise man," or a man, "that without a foundation built an house upon the earth." Without a foundation built his house upon the earth. And sadly in people's lives today, as I mentioned a moment ago, I said we would come back to it. There are many who are building their lives on the ideas and the opinions and the cultural perceptions of the age. There are many in our generation, for example, I remember going into a little school in Portadown, it was just before COVID, way back maybe 2019 or so, and in one of the classes that we took on a weekly basis, this young fellow, he was 13, he was only 13 years on the planet Earth, and he was able to say without a shadow of a doubt, there was no person called the Lord Jesus. There was no person that existed. Never read the Bible, never read all the historical accounts and weighed it all up for himself. He was just able to say there was no such person as the Lord Jesus. And so many people today in our generation have that attitude. They have that kind of mentality where what they think and what they believe is what's right. And if you think something's right, well, that's right for you, but it's not right for me. That's the sad times that we're living in, where people aren't willing, as we said a moment ago, to search the scriptures and dig deep and prepare the foundation and see what they're building their lives upon. They would rather just go with the flow. Think about what they think. Depends what way they wake up. They might have a different view the next day. It doesn't matter. If that's what happens, that's what happens. That's the mentality of the generation that's growing up today. And there's so many who are building their lives on the cultural ideas and opinions of today. In one generation, things aren't tolerated. In another generation, laws are passed and sins are accepted and sins are tolerated. In the next generation, it gets worse than that again. One country says you can do this, and another country says you can do that. One group of people think it's okay to live a certain way, while over on the other side of the world, they say, no, it's not. We live in an age where people build their lives upon what they think, upon the culture of their day. We think of the boys and girls, and as mums and dads, and even grannies and grandas, we can think of what it's like to go to the beach. What happens to sandcastles that are built? What happens to those big troughs that we dig around the big cities that we build with the children whenever the waves come in? Well, the sand levels out. All the particles of sand go flat again. I know so many people are trying to build their lives on the shifting sands of the culture. Maybe that's you this evening. Maybe that's you. You're building your life on what you think. You're not taking time to consider what God would have you to do and how God would have you to live. Well, this foolish man is a picture of you. You've heard the truth. You know the truth. You've heard the gospel, how Jesus Christ has suffered, died, how he's rose again, how he's ascended into heaven. You're a fool because you've heard the truth. You know what to do. You need to repent. You need to believe the gospel. Yet you will not do it. Lastly, I want you to think about the consequences of each of these homes. The wise man's house is one that stood firm. We read about it there in verse 26. It says verse 25, that the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. What assurance that gives us. And throughout the word of God, we are given promises and assurances from God's word and from the Lord that those he saves, he keeps. He will uphold them. He will support them to the uttermost. The word of God teaches us in Hebrews, to the uttermost Jesus saves. He will save us to the uttermost, them that come unto God by him. That means he will save completely. Completely. What assurance that is. And what encouragement that is for you as a sinner to come to the Lord Jesus and receive him None will pluck you out of the Father's hand. He will keep you and he will secure you. That was the consequence of the man building his house upon the foundation. That is and will be the result for those who build their lives upon the rock, Christ Jesus. For those who build their lives upon the Lord, he will uphold you and he will support you and he will strengthen you. But what about the foolish man? Well, it says there, and I want you to take note of this in verse 27, that the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it says this, it fell. And then Jesus goes on to say, great was the fall of it. And I've asked the question before, why did Jesus not just say after it fell, because he built upon the sand, just like it says of the wise man, it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Why does it not say, or why does the Lord not say, it fell because he built upon the sand? I believe it goes right back to what I said earlier about the similarities between these two men, about how they both were pictures and are pictures of those who heard the word of God that day. Here's a man who's a picture of those hearers that day who heard the truth of Jesus Christ and what the Lord had to say that day about the way to heaven, about repentance, about contrition, about not walking and living in the way of hypocrisy and all of those things. This man's a fool. He built his house upon the sand. He did not build his house upon the rock. He did not build his life upon God's word, and live his life under God's authority and live by this book and the words of Jesus Christ. Having heard the words of Christ, he walked away and chose to rebel. He was a fool, and great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it because here's a man who heard the way of life. Here's a man who heard the truth. Great was the fall of it because here's a man who knew how to get right with God. A picture of an individual who knew how to be saved. Great is the fall of a man like that. And isn't it the case where so many hear God's word time after time after time after time? And isn't it sad that there's so many go out into eternity? And great is their fall. It's tragic. Great is the fall of those who have had great opportunity to hear the gospel preached, to hear how to be saved, to hear how to be born again, to hear how to have new life found in Jesus Christ, to hear how to become a new creature in Christ. And yet what do? They turn away. They rebel and they reject the truth of God's word. What a great fall that will be for you if you remain in your sin. If you continue in your life without trusting in the Lord and you die. It's a solemn thought. Over in Matthew's gospel, well, just in the next few chapters, I just want to close with these verses in Matthew 11. I'm sure they're familiar words to many. But the Lord Jesus says in verse 23, "Thou Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." They would have known what happened in Sodom. They had the Old Testament canon. They had the Old Testament scriptures. And they knew that event in history where Sodom and Gomorrah were burned with fire and brimstone. And in verse 25, Jesus says, "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." But he says in verse 24, "I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." The people in Jesus' day who heard him preach, they had great opportunities. They had great opportunities and many opportunities to hear the words of Christ and see the Lord Jesus in human flesh, to see him there incarnated, to see him there before him and teach the words of life, to reveal the truth of the Father to them, to reveal the words that the Father gave him to speak. They had tremendous opportunity. And the Lord Jesus says, "It will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." What a sad thing it is for those who perish in their sins having heard the gospel and refuse to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We'll close with those thoughts in mind, and I trust that the Lord will bless his word to our hearts tonight. Let's bow in a word of prayer as we close our meeting. And you can pray that the Lord would help you to even come to him and trust him. You don't need me. You don't need the elders. You don't need even another friend. That's maybe the closest person to you. The Lord says, call unto me and I will answer thee. As many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. Without faith it is impossible to please him. He wants you to have faith in him, believe on him, seek him from your heart and trust in him. Heavenly Father, we ask thee this evening that you would write the word of God upon our hearts. We pray, as we thought earlier, that we would hide the word of God in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. Lord, we pray for those that are unconverted tonight, perhaps sit here once again on another occasion. Lord, open up their heart. Give them understanding to the truth of thy word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. Lord, we know you prayed for thy people. And we know at this point in time you're praying for all of thy people to be gathered together. Lord, call unto thy children, we pray. Separate men, separate women out from the world. Show them their need of Christ. Show them their need of a Savior. Draw them unto thyself. Solomon said, draw me and we will run after thee. Lord, put a new song in their heart this evening. Put a new song in their mouth that they may sing praises unto the Lord and that they might live for God every moment of every day. We sing together as thy people, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, may they have that thought, and that morale, and that idea as they live their lives from now on. Lord, call them out from the world. Give them a new heart, we pray. And we pray, Lord, that they would serve thee with their whole heart. Bless thy people and help them to continue as they witness for thee in the days to come. We just ask thee, Lord, you bless all that has been said and done in thy house today, and that we would know thy presence as we live our lives and raise our families and live for the Lord in our workplaces. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.